What's the difference between the Great Evacuation and the Rapture? I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
We have talked about the New Age movement, what they believe, that one day, among other things, due to ignorance and what they say is an inability to evolve, millions of people will be suddenly and instantly removed from the face of this planet. Now, I believe that Satan has made preparation for this upcoming event by announcing it ahead of time and simply putting a different twist on it. And I asked at the top of the hour, what's the difference between the rapture and the great evacuation? Well, a number of things, but they sound on the surface to be so very similar. If the event simply occurred without no notice given to humanity, especially those within the New Age movement, it is likely that at least some people would remember being taught about the rapture from the Bible. They would panic, realizing that the Bible prophecy concerning the rapture had actually occurred. They were, in point of fact, left behind. Now, this would not work for Satan at all. He needs to keep things running smoothly as possible. He would have to do something to draw attention away from the fact that this concept is taught in Scripture. And he has a number of choices at his disposal, both of which he seems to have used. For Christians, both professing and true, what he has done is create doubt within those individuals so that they themselves don't believe or at least question the rapture. Will it occur? When will it occur? He'll have them focus on the rumor, for instance, that Margaret MacDonald actually created the concept and Darby got wind of it and ran with it. And then he and Schofield created this theology around it. If there are Christians who literally deny that the rapture is going to occur, then this is what they will teach to everyone, those who believe it and those who don't believe it. The second option he has is for non-Christians, mainly New Agers, those involved in yoga, the occult, all kinds of world religions. For those people, he gets the word out way ahead of time that the rapture is going to occur. However, the Bible has it wrong. It's called the Great Evacuation, and it's going to occur to remove Christians from the world. But as far as the world will understand it, these Christians are seen as troublemakers, keeping the planet and people from evolving to the next level. And you know what, folks? There is much, much more chatter and talk and blame being directed at Christians today. Not long ago, CNN blamed Christians for the fact that Obamacare is not working. And they say that the pastors of churches, specifically in the South, have not been teaching their congregations the idea of redistribution of wealth. They also say that churches have not done enough to meet the needs of the poor. Well, that's absolute bunk because Christians have been on the front lines for generations of trying to meet the needs of those who are poor, disabled, unable to help themselves. It's just simply fact, historical fact, and it's easy to verify. As far as the other thing that they said was that, you know, Christians aren't teaching enough about redistribution of wealth. It's because we don't believe in socialization. We don't believe in socialism. We believe that a person should work hard for what they get. And just because they work hard for it doesn't mean they have to give it to somebody else. It has nothing to do with Christianity per se. It is the fact of life. Paul even says this, if somebody isn't going to work, let him not eat. Now, obviously in those cases where people are in desperate need, there are many, many, many times the church has stepped up to the plate when the government failed or was not even interested in doing anything. Hurricane Sandy was one way. And there are many, many other instances of the church stepping up to the plate. But that doesn't matter because the world starts to blame Christians, much the way Nero blamed Christians for the burning of Rome. Now, this is one of the reasons why Satan began to disseminate his own version of the event that we call the rapture. He knows without doubt that it will take place, unlike many Christians today who deny a good deal of the as yet unfulfilled prophetic discourse. You know, call them what you will, dominions, people who believe in dominionism, reformed, replacement theology, fulfillment theology, the idea that all of the promises were transferred to the church and everything has been fulfilled with the exception of a few chapters left in the book of Revelation. And the only way they can get there is to allegorize scripture, to spiritualize it. And when you do that, you can make it say anything you want it to say. It's just that simple. Unfortunately, it's just that wrong. Now, some Christians, to be sure, are not in rebellion to God, nor do they desire to work against Him, but they are merely blind to His purposes related to the end times. It's because of this day they do wind up inadvertently working against Him and His purposes. They don't envision a coming rapture, and many don't envision a coming great tribulation either. Having sequestered the latter to the AD 70 event of Jerusalem's destruction. Those people who call them, who believe in a fulfillment type of theology or, reformed or covenant or replacement theology, they believe that the tribulation happened in AD 70. But in order to do that, they have to allegorize everything. 7 years isn't really 7 years. When Jesus returned physically, he didn't really return physically. That's not what he meant. He returned spiritually. That's allegorizing the scripture, even though in Acts chapter 1, the angels tell the disciples that the same way Jesus left physically is the same way he's coming back. And yet, people today who think they know better continue to allegorize scripture. Now, Satan, on the other hand, knows that the rapture is going to occur. He knows the great tribulation will occur, and it is for this event that he is directing much of his energy and power. It's during this time that Satan will reveal himself to the world through his spiritual son, the Antichrist, as a, at first, kind, intelligent, loving, tolerant man. And who, because of these things, will rise to rule the entire world through a global government of absolute imperialism. The entire world, folks. Read Matthew chapter 24. Jesus speaks of the entire world, not the then known world. It's a scary thought to think that we are moving toward a time when one person will rule the world. Aren't those days over? Well, we thought so, but the Bible says, nope, they will visit us in the last days just prior to the return physically of Jesus Christ. But though Satan is working toward that final showdown that will occur at the end of the Great Tribulation, he does not know when either the rapture will happen or the Great Tribulation will begin. He doesn't know those dates. These times are in God's hands only, and only when that time arrives will the rapture of the church occur. When it's supposed to happen, it will happen. After that, the beginning of the Great Tribulation, which comprises a full literal 7 years, will start when the Antichrist is able to gain the trust of Israel, entering into or confirming a covenant with her for the 7 years of the tribulation and Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation references the last 3.5 years because it even gets worse. That's hard to imagine, but that's what happens. Now, ever watchful, Satan continues to keep tabs on everything that happens in this world that he has no control over. This allows him to judge the times and the seasons, but as we've seen, though that's not enough, it's the best he can do. He has nothing else that he can do. So the rapture, according to Satan, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's Romans 1:22. That's what happens to a world that rebels against God and abjectly wants nothing to do with God's truth. So for the New Ages, for the people who have rejected God, they are being told and have been told since the 50s that sometime in the future an evacuation of millions of people will occur in the twinkling of an eye. And they use that verbiage. These people are said to keep the planet and its citizenry from evolving to the next level. Their removal means progression for the planet. So what do you think is going to happen when millions of what they call malcontents, Christians, are taken from this world? There's going to be a lot of happiness and rejoicing amidst the chaos because they are looking now for the reality of the next spiritual plane. And then scoffers are also going to come in the last days. 2 Peter 3:3. There are plenty of individuals within the visible church, within Christendom, who are denigrating, ridiculing, questioning, making fun of the idea of a rapture. And these folks believe the rumors, like Margaret MacDonald started the rapture story and Darby ran with it. Others believe that the rapture was created by people who were merely looking for a persecution escape clause, as if that has anything to do with anything, or a fast way to make a buck. Now, even when things are clarified by Maitreya, and I mentioned him a number of episodes ago, Benjamin Krem, he believes that the final Mahdi, the Messiah, Maitreya, will show up even when things are clarified by this coming Messiah or entity. As for instance, why the great planetary evacuation has not yet taken place, or why Maitreya himself has been unable to reveal himself, the blame is placed on those individuals with bad energy, the malcontents. And because these things are happening as spoken of through these transmissions given over the space of 20 or 30 or 40 or 60 years, it is stated or implied that those who keep things from happening are the problem with this world. So instead of doubting Maitreya's power and ability, I start to turn to what he says is the problem to see what can be done about it. Within the New Age movement, the concept of energy, both positive and negative, is foundational. Those having a positive energy are enabled to move things forward to the next evolutionary phase, at least in their life. And as they gather in bigger groups, they begin to move the planet toward that next phase. Those with negative energy, and you need to read here, Christians, keep things from happening the way the New Age adherents have been told it is scheduled to happen. So you've got positive versus negative energy. Which one's going to win out? Well, the one that has more energy on that side. So in order for the positive people to have more energy, there has to be less negativity. How do you make that happen? Getting rid of those with negative energy. Now, one day, as I've noted, according to New Age beliefs, spaceships are going to park themselves above our skies out of sight. Then, at the appointed time, they will literally vacuum the earth of that which keeps the planet and the people on it who possess positive energy from entering into a new phase of reality for this planet. And so we see the problem of Earth's inability to rise to the next level of evolution spiritually will have been dealt with once and for all. Nothing then would continue to stand in the way of Earth's advancement. And of course, Paul talks about that in his letters to the Thessalonians when he said, "He who restrains until he is taken out of the way." And we'll get into that another time, but I believe he's talking about the Holy Spirit there. And as the Holy Spirit works through the church, once the church is gone, the Holy Spirit doesn't have those people to work through. Everything is externalized again. And it becomes more of the way things worked in the Old Testament. So what's to be done with all these millions of people who are instantly whisked away from this planet? Well, Chuck Missler, who quotes from the spring 1994 issue of Connecting Link magazine from an article written by Kay Wheeler, she states this, quote, "Many of these beings," please listen to this very carefully, "many," and we're going to end on this, "many of these beings who are leaving this planet at this time have completed that which they came to do. It is a time of great rejoicing for them. Do not feel sad about their leaving. They are going home. Many are waiting to be with them again. Many beings must move on, for their thought patterns are of the past. They hold to these thoughts that keep the earth held back," unquote. Notice how Wheeler has softened the blow a bit here. While she states these individuals are holding the earth back, she states that these humans, referred to as beings, are going to a better place. So while the world should experience a collective sigh of relief, it should also revel in the fact that these missing people are going to a better place. That's our show for today, folks. It went by fast. Join me next time, and until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.